You know, in every company, you're one great executive away from taking your company to the next level. The right business partner, the right hire, the right C-suite, the right manager. However, most people think it's just hiring them that's the biggest process. No. Did you know 83% of HR managers find retaining employees more challenging than hiring them? So good for you. You just hired an incredible person for your company. Now what do you do with it? Today, I'm going to talk to you about the 7-step process we go through when we attract, recruit, and retain new employees. If you get value out of this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. So look, if you're an executive, C-suite, CEO, founder, you know how frustrating it is to recruit talent and retain them. It's very, very hard. And you also know what it is when you do recruit the right person, how incredible it is for your company, where your company grows 88% because you brought a leader that knows how to do something. They got a specialized skill that you simply don't have. Now, to go through that process, there are certain things you have to be asking about. Step number one is attracting. You want to attract. Then it's recruit. Then it's engage. Then it's retain. Then it's build. Then develop, then it's lead, then it's duplicate. But let's go back to the top. Attract and recruit. So what is attracting? You either have a social media presence where some people may say, man, I want to work for that guy. I want to go work with that person. I'd love to work with Elon. I'd love to work with this person. I just like this person's style. I want to be part of that person's company. Great. Or your company is in so many stories, industry experts are writing about you to say, this company is growing leaps and bounds. They're doing this, this, this. Man, I want to be part of a company like that. I want to be part of an emerging company like that. So somehow, some way, either the company story or your personal story is attracting attention to come to you. Now, when I was smaller and I'm talking to a bunch of recruiting firms or industry experts or influencers within my industry, guess what I'm doing to all of them? I'm selling every one of them the dream and the future of where we're going as a company. Why? If I sell them the dream, I'm at an industry event called NALBA. We meet a guy whose name is David. We sell him. By the way, no one at this point is kind of following. We're not public. We have a small little platform, but I'm selling where we're going one day. And this guy's listening to me. He goes sell somebody else of where we're going. That person calls us, gets on a call with Tom. A few months later, we raised $10 million from them and all these investors came in. Why? Because we sold the dream and the future to somebody else who sold that to somebody else. So it's not just selling to the people you're hiring. You got to sell everybody while your company is special and you're going places. That's number one. Number two, recruiting. When you're sitting with the person, when you're smaller, you're selling a future concept where the company is going. You have to ask a lot of questions. You have to get to know the person. There's a stat over here that talks about how many people make a decision on being part of a company simply based on their experience. Career Plug says 1 in every 2 applicants has had negative experience while applying for a job as of 2023, and 75% of job seekers in 2022, according to Career Plug, stated that a positive candidate experience made them accept a job offer. Meaning, when you're recruiting them, whether you're going to hire this person or not, is it a good experience? Do they walk away saying, I really like the culture. I really like the way they treated me. I really like the way they handle. I really like the fact that they ask me questions. What questions do you have for us? What questions do you have for what we're doing with the company? And it was such a welcoming environment. They're like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be here or not, but I love the fact that they approach it this way. So everybody, whether you hire them or not, you want to give everybody a great experience. But when you are recruiting, asking the right questions, selling the company the proper way, how they can potentially fit, knowing the position you're hiring for is so specific upfront that you're not interviewing with people where you're wasting their time nor your time. Sometimes people wing interviewing anybody and everybody because it's just like, hey, get somebody in the office. I don't care who it is. It's also not the right solution. The more clear you are upfront of who you need next, the more you can do qualified interviews and the more your team can do qualified interviews. So you're saving yourself money and time. You know what the pandemic did to us? It made many people lonely in America where they did not have somebody to talk to. Numbers came up saying 33% of Americans feel lonely. JPMorgan Chase just came out talking about 99% of Americans are doing worse today financially than they were 3 years ago. This may be tough times for some people. One of the worst things you can do is not talk to anybody. That's why today's sponsor is BetterHelp. What BetterHelp offers you is the opportunity to connect with over 30,000 licensed therapists who are trained to listen and give you helpful and unbiased advice. One of the great things about BetterHelp is sometimes if you want to go to an office or go meet with a therapist and talk to somebody because you got nobody in your life, you go to an office, you're sitting there, other people are looking at you. What if you run to coworker, family? It's a little bit embarrassing. BetterHelp, you simply do it on your phone. You talk to somebody. The therapist doesn't work out for you. They'll replace it with somebody else at no cost. And all you have to do to get started is fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and you'll get matched with your therapist in most cases within 48 hours or less. Over 4 million people have used BetterHelp to live healthier and happier lives, and all you need to do is click on a link below or go to betterhelp.com /Valuetainment to get a 10% discount on your first month of therapy with a licensed professional specific to your needs. Number three is engaging. So now you got somebody you attracted, you recruited them, they said yes. How do you engage this individual? What do you do to engage this individual? Well, engaging starts right off the bat, pre them getting started. So for example, if my starting date is 2 weeks from now and I've accepted the offer, start engaging them then. So hey, here's what we do over here. Here's some of the things I want you to think about. Watch this video, read this article, go through this process with this. I want to introduce you to Larry who does this in this department. I want to introduce you to Jack. That the engagement are like, oh wow, these guys on top of it. Don't wait those 2 weeks on the first days. Like, well, I haven't heard from you guys. I'm here. Engage them right off the bat. So here's the other thing about engaging as well. So once they come in, let's just say today's the day they're coming in for day one, they're going to be meeting with HR. Great. Do all the things that you need to do with HR, filling out all the information, application, everything that's been done, right? Walk them through. Introduce them to people. Okay. Sometimes people are like, okay, here's your laptop. Here's your desk. Here's your key card. Go over there. Do your work. That's John, your manager. Good luck. Sayonara. We'll talk to you again if I run into the office. So if you have any problems, come see me. What a weak way of doing it, right? Versus, let me take you around and show you the office. Here's this department. By the way, everybody, say hello to Johnny. Johnny's background's from such and such. He's going to be working with Larry. This is what he's going to be doing. We're excited to be here. By the way, Johnny, so somebody may ask, so what school did you go? I went to such. No way, me too. Now there's a relationship. Next department. Wow, this is a pretty interesting environment. I like being here, right? Then you take them and you introduce them to whoever the managers that they're going to be working with. At that point, they've already met the manager due to the interview process. But sometimes managers are like, well, onboarding is on HR. I don't need to do it. And sometimes HR is like, no, onboarding is on the manager. You do it. No, onboarding is on both. It's a collaborative effort on the manager as well as the onboarder HR to work collectively together. So now you go and he starts working with Johnny. There's got to be constant check-in from HR. Everything good? How you doing? How are things? Lunch for the first week. Have lunch with a couple other people. Maybe encourage the manager to take the new employee out and have lunch with them. Get to know them. What do you like? Building some kind of a relationship. Hey, great job. This worked out very well. Talk to John. He's pretty excited about what's going to be happening. There's constant engaging going on. Sometimes people only do it for one day and doesn't happen again. Some people are good for a week. Some people are good for a month and then they forget about it. Engaging is a constant thing that's taking place. And by the way, majority of the leaks in retaining happens on how well of a job you do onboarding and engaging the individual coming on board to the company. By the way, our culture within the company, everybody's required to read a book, right? For longest time, people were coming in, surprised, now you're a full-time employee, we're reading a book of them. Wait a minute, nobody told me this. Up front in the interview process, you can engage them and tell them, hey, do you like reading business books? I don't mind doing that. It's a culture of ours. Every month we read a book here at the company. And matter of fact, before we even get started, for the next step in the interview, I'd like you to read this book to understand what our company stands for. You want me to read a book before the next interview? Yes. If the person doesn't read it, that's their way of saying, I just don't fit the culture and I'm not going to engage with you. They're giving you a hint up front. They're not going to be somebody that's going to fit within your culture. But too often people are so quick to hire just anybody to bring them in, not knowing this person's not going to fit in the culture. So the more you engage, the more you can filter them, whether they're going to be a fit for you or not, and whether you're going to be a fit for them or not. Both matter. Number four. So now retaining talent. Remember earlier when they said 83% of HR managers believe it's harder to retain than it is to recruit. Now we're talking about the problem here, retention. Retention has to do with relationship, constant engagement, but also at the same time, setting clear expectation of what you want from them and what the future could look like for them. So if you do this, one day you could be XYZ within the company. Because when you think about stats, I'll give you some more data here when it comes down to this. 49% of employees say their promotion and career routes are clear. Only 49% as of 2020. Most people are not clear. What am I going to do here? And that happens by you engaging them and saying, so where do you see yourself being a year, 3 years, 5 years from now? They'll openly talk to you about it. And then from there, you can, if it's part of the culture, you can say, here's what could happen if you work on these following areas. On top of that, employees receiving recognition are nearly twice as likely to trust their HR department as of 2022. Recognition is a very big part of retention. Sometimes you forget about it. And by the way, on the same scale, the article here on Tiny Pulse talks about how on a scale of 1 to 10, small companies were rated over 5 points by their employees when it comes to giving recognition. Smaller companies are typically better at recognizing their people than bigger companies. Sometimes bigger companies get lost in translation. People don't find you anymore. You're just an employee number sitting behind a cubicle. In a smaller company, they're a little bit more about recognizing, and then eventually they get a little bit too comfortable in that area. So retaining your talent, constant relationship, clear route of what could happen with them, checking on them, engaging with them, going through that process to retain them. And if you do that, you have a higher chance of keeping these folks. But number five continues with the retaining concept, which is building and developing your new recruit. So what is building and developing your new recruit? Here's some more data for you. This year, 59% of HR leaders will prioritize upskilling and reskilling. What does that mean? Due to AI and how quickly things are moving, you have to also set your people up for success. Now, look, it's not fully going to be on you. Some people just simply are not going to fit your company. Some people are just not going to have the right attitude. When I talk about within our company, when somebody comes in and says, I'm going to let this guy go, I gauge them based on four different things. One, how's their attitude? Solid. How's their effort? Do they work hard? Absolutely. What's their character like? Totally trust this guy. Great attitude. What's their specialized skill? Pat, they don't have a specialized skill. Well, why don't we help them reskill and upskill? Why don't we put them in a position to get a specialized skill and invest it in it? Because it's very hard to find great attitude, great effort, and somebody with solid character. Let's invest into the last one, right? But if your attitude is bad, if your effort's not good, if you're constantly making promises you don't keep, it doesn't matter how much we invest into specialized skill. The three is going to be an issue for us long term anyways. I'm assuming the people that have the following three, let's invest into them. Let's build them. Let's develop them. Let's put them in certain training programs to get better. Sometimes even within a company, there's opportunities internally for managers to work with certain people to develop them to the next level. You could say, these seven people in these seven different departments, I think these guys have what it takes to be a manager, but let me work on them. So we'll have a meeting with them on a weekly basis for conflict resolutions, whatever it may be. But that's the concept of building and developing. Six is now leading them. So how do you lead them? Because at the end of the day, folks are also wanting to stay with a company when they can look at somebody and say, this guy's leading me. We're going places. I'm going to follow this guy. He's my leader, right? They got to look at you that way as well. So whether you're the C-suite executive and you got people reporting to, whether you're a VP, whether you're a director, whether you're the founder, you got to lead your core group because they're watching what you're going to be doing. So according to Gartner, leader and manager effectiveness is the top priority of 60% of HR leaders this 2023. Why? Because better leaders retain more people. Better managers engage with people more. Weak leaders, weak managers don't. There's this concept about it. You know how some people say, well, what's leadership? Well, setting a personal example. It's not enough. Now, what else is it? One is your personal example. The other one is getting people to do things they typically wouldn't do on their own. That's the effectiveness of a great leader. So maybe in a company, sometimes like we've had challenges where middle management was weak, and then we need to invest in middle management. We don't have that. And that's the day-to-day stuff. That causes a lot of problems. But you'll be able to look at it to say, our weakness with management and leadership is here. Maybe it's with me, maybe it's with you, but you can gauge that and invest into that because you got better leaders and managers, retention and engagement automatically goes up. And last but not least, if you commit to this and you go through this process and you work with your C-suite executives, you work with your middle management, you teach your VPs, your directors about this is the approach we're going to be taking. And I'm doing a short video here. I can do hours on this topic here that we're talking about. Eventually, this becomes a culture within your company. Once it becomes a culture within your company, now what are you doing? Now you're duplicating. What happens when you're duplicating? It's contagious. So now everyone's speaking the same language. So let's just say three managers are buddies. They're watching a game or they're going to lunch together. So man, I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time with Julio. What's going on? He just got started 2 weeks ago, man. The other two are like, how much are you engaging with them? Have you sat there and painted a picture on what could look like in the future? When's the last time you took him out to lunch? And he's like, I haven't. Why don't you do that? You talk to him. Do you recognize him? What have you, haven't done any of that stuff? Oh my God, that's the problem. Why don't you do that with Julio? You know what? That's exactly what I'm going to do. Come back. Hey, Julio, can we go have a cup of coffee together? Boom. Hey, so tell me about yourself. Julio was like, man, this was so great. Thank you for that. Absolutely. Boom. Next it comes up, attitude up. What happened? The other two are now duplicating because it's becoming a culture. Make sense? So I can go on and on more about this stuff. This is something I'm going to be talking about more at the Vault Conference. But here's what I'll tell you. Take the seven that we just covered. Attracting, recruiting, engaging, retaining, building and developing, leading and duplicating, and score yourself right next to it. Personally, yourself, attracting, man, we're a zero. Nobody knows about who we are. Great. Attracting, we're a seven. You know, recruiting, I'm not the best recruiter out there. I got to become better at recruiting. I never sell the dream. I just kind of talk to them logically and I talk salary. How boring is that? Three, engaging. I don't even know what that means to engage. Four, retaining. Man, we don't do any of that stuff. We expect people to do their work. And matter of fact, I'm even afraid of talking to my employees. Building and developing, score yourself. And then based on that, come out with a strategy. Do some research on yourself. Hire a consulting firm. Connect with someone. Download the app, Connect, and go ask one of the CEOs and executives, how do I get better in this area? Well, whatever you do, creative strategy on how to improve in these seven areas, then go talk to your management and your team about it and make progress and improvement based on that. You do that, the right company that's recruiting the right people, retaining them, engaging them, developing them, building them, then you experience exponential growth. And when you have exponential growth, pressure for you goes lower, your pillow gets softer, company's more profitable, people are working better together, it's crystal clear. And at the end of the day, you and many other people get recognized and rewarded handsomely if you get these seven things right. By the way, I've been in business for 20-something years. I've been hiring, recruiting, firing, gone through the whole process. I've lost great people. I've hired great people. I've fired any of that stuff that I've gone through. This, by far, has been the biggest headache in any businesses I've ran. And 100% of this falls on one person, the leader, you, me. You and I commit to this. Everybody else will within the organization. Then your company grows. Then you get to reinvest into your company, scale it at whatever scale you want to go to. By the way, you know how many times in my career I got stuck in a certain challenge I had with my company, with HR, with recruiting, with ops, with whatever it is, and for years I kept making the same mistake. I wish I had a tool to get a hold of somebody that's been through it to say, hey man, I'm going through this. Can you please help assist on me overcoming this challenge? If I would have done that, I would have saved years of my life as well as money. That's why we have the app called Monect. Many of you email me, you DM me on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. I don't get back to any one of them. I don't have the bandwidth to do it. But I get back to every single message that's sent to me on Monect app. Monect is about, hey, Pat, do you have a minute to connect? I'm willing to pay for it. You respect my time. I'm going to respect the fact that you're doing it, and I'll respond back to you. Aside from me, there's a ton of executives, CEOs, founders, people in different departments to ask any questions of. So if you've never Monected with anybody, click on a link here, download the app Monect, and you can start Monecting with me or anybody else that's on there. It's been downloaded already 200,000 times, and people are using it from 42 plus different countries. However, if you want to engage with BitDivi Consulting and you actually want to sit down, do a 1 hour, 2 hour strategy session, and you want to engage with us, click on a link below in the description, go to BitDiviConsulting.com, watch the 5x5 video, and then based on that, if there's any area of those five that we can help you out with, fill out the information below. One of our consultants will get back to you. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.